Appreciate Miss Chrissy and Jessica working with them and the parents who bring them in to do that. That's part of how you learn to serve. Amen. Is doing that sort of thing, learning to be up in front of people. That's all part of it. You just don't wake up one day and know how to do all of it. You have to learn how to do it. So we appreciate them doing that. All right. We already know who Brother Kuzel is. If you don't know by now after the presentation, I don't know what else I can say. So why don't you come, Brother, and preach in there. So again, water down there. If you
thank you, preacher. Amen. Thank you, children, for singing. I enjoyed that. I'll just take a brief minute, to just quickly give my testimony. I was born and raised in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and I was raised in a Lutheran church. My parents had me baptized according to their way of doing it. I was confirmed, went to Bible camp, a Lutheran Bible camp. But in June 22nd, 1982, after visiting a Baptist church for the very first time, I went Sunday morning, Sunday night, and the assistant pastor at that time, Mike Custer, who became the senior pastor, he came to my apartment building, and he arrived around 7:30, and for 3 hours he took the Word of God, and he showed me why I needed to be saved, he showed me what does it mean to be saved, and he showed me how I could be saved. And I was saved that night. I was born again. And the next month, July 11th, I was baptized into the membership of Bible Baptist Church. That was over 33 years ago, and I've been in the same Baptist church ever since. Amen? Amen. And I'm happy to be a Baptist.
Amen. Right.
I wouldn't be anything else but a Baptist.
Right.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, I bow before you tonight, and I want to thank you for bringing me and my family here safely. And Father, it is so good to be in the house of the Lord. Father, my prayer for this church and for me being here is what you led Paul to write in the book of Ephesians, that you'd given some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Father, that is my responsibility as an evangelist, a missionary as we call it, is to edify this body. So Father, use me, and Father, encourage the saved. And if there's somebody here who's not really saved, Father, may you, by your Spirit, work repentance and faith in their heart, and may they come to Christ and be saved. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you take your Bible, please, and go to Matthew chapter 3? You may stand. Amen. Matthew chapter 3. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says in verse 1, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, 'Repent, ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, 'O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.'" You may be seated. Thank you. When I read this text of Scripture, I can't help. In fact, whenever I read the Bible, I try to make a relevant application. What does the Bible mean to me? What does this say to me? How is it applicable today? And when I read this, beloved, I see a lot of similarities in John's day with what we have going on in our country, in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, and unto the uttermost part of the earth, actually. But I want you to notice something. The Bible says in verse number 1, in those days came John the Baptist. In those days. What was happening in those days? The Bible is saying this for a reason. When you look at the Scriptures and you look at Bible times in the days of Christ, or even when he was born, in the days, you know, when John the Baptist was born and the Lord and so on, in those days, what was happening? You know, you can look at Matthew chapter 6 and you can find when Jesus Christ spoke to the religious leaders of his day, those Pharisees and those Sadducees, the same ones who came to John's baptism, and he rebuked them. He said that they were holding the commandments and the traditions of men, and they were rejecting the commandment of God. That's what they were doing in their, if I can say, churches, their assemblies, their synagogues. And when you look at the world today, when just even looking at our country, you can see where more all of the time we have churches, and even in some Baptist churches, where they are more concerned about what the tradition is or what the commandments of men are, and they are laying aside the commandment of God. That is the religious sentiment of the world. They're not wanting to hold to the revealed truth of the Bible. And you know that even Baptist, that's even happening in Baptist churches. Now I'm for tradition if the tradition is not violating the Scripture. But you know, Baptists, we can have traditions. You know, every church has their way of doing things. But I want to encourage you with something, beloved. At the same time you have traditions and maybe the standard way of doing things, don't get so locked in to a tradition that the Spirit of God has no liberty and freedom to work in your midst. You say, what do you mean, Brother Kuzel? Well, let me just give an example. I mean, I'm just thinking of something. You know, a lot of churches, they'll have the preaching and they'll have three congregational hymns, you know, and they'll have the offering and the choir and then the preacher and then the invitation and they'll sing, you know, or play some music or sing Just As I Am. And I mean, the format's always the same. And you know, that's okay. But what if the preacher came up and decided he wanted to do something totally different? Now, I'm not talking about changing doctrine, you understand. I'm not talking about changing doctrine. I'm just saying we need to be sensitive to the Lord on how we do things. Maybe preacher will come up here one day and say, hey, Calvary Baptist, we're going to try something. We're going to do something we've never done before, but I believe that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me about this, and I want to present it to you. Oh, but preacher, we've never done this before. We can't do that. Well, maybe you can. Listen, doctrine is the same. Doctrine doesn't change. But maybe a methodology or how you do something or how you apply. Listen, God wants us to have some liberty to be led of the Holy Spirit, and God will lead the preacher to, where is the preacher? He'll lead the preacher to do it. But here was, in those days, there was religion and they had rejected the commandment of God. They had laid it aside. They were more concerned about the traditions and commandments of men. And then you can look in Matthew chapter 3 that when Jesus again was speaking to the religious establishment, he was rebuking them heavily for their hypocrisy. And he laid it at their feet. God help us. That those of us who claim the name of Christ, that we're not hypocrites. Because Jesus really came down hard on hypocrites. We need to be, are you listening? We need to be the same kind of Christian that we are in the four walls when you come to assemble here. We need to be the same kind of Christian out there as we are in here. And I know we battle with the flesh. You still have your flesh, amen? But by God's grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, God can work through us to get the hypocrisy out. And when the Holy Spirit reveals us, you know, reveals where we're wrong about something or we're not right, you know, we're not doing something just right, we need to repent of that and ask God by His grace to conform us to the image of His Son and to conform to His Word and His standard. Because God hates hypocrisy. You know, the ones who notice the hypocrisy the most in the church, it's children. And it's the children in our own household. Do you know that I have had to, as a parent, sir? I've had to go to my daughter and I've had to apologize to her. I've had to apologize to my wife. I just did a few days ago. And praise the Lord for my wife, but God uses my wife to bring things to my attention. And brother, there are things that I am still struggling with. And when I fall short, I humble myself and I say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? But here there was hypocrisy. They were saying and not doing and we can fall into that. But when we realize we're coming up short, we need to humble ourselves and say, I am sorry. Amen. And here, what else do we see? We see not only that they were rejecting the commandment of God and they were hypocritical, we can look at the in those days we can see, for an example, when Jesus Christ, in the days of Christ, when he was born, and of course John the Baptist was born just a few months before, there was a decree that went out that all the world should be taxed. And when you've got the whole world being taxed, that tells me that at that time there's a one world government, amen, if you're taxing the whole world. And I see a picture of that in the world today where, listen, where we as people living in this world, this is Satan's domain. He is the prince of the power of the air. We're strangers, we're pilgrims, we don't belong here anymore. But I see people, you know, sinners, they are taxed, if you will. They are under the heavy thumb of Satan, and they're blind and they're deceived and they're being led astray. And you were like that. We were like that before we were saved. And you look at the condition of the world and you see wickedness everywhere. And God looks down and he sees the condition. And in those days, and I look at these days and they're about the same thing. And when God looked down upon that, God had a remedy. God had a solution. And what was it? What did he do? Well, in those days came John the Baptist. Now, if John the Baptist came, somebody sent him. And the Bible says in John chapter 1, in those days, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. John the Baptist was sent with the authority of God. He was called of God. He was in the deserts. In the wilderness, in the deserts, until the day of his appearing unto Israel. And God was revealing unto him truth and teaching that man and preparing that man. And when God saw the sinful wickedness of the world and religion had forsaken God in the assemblies and so on of religion, and he saw the condition of people in sin, he had a solution. And the solution was he called a man. In those days came John the Baptist. Now, I want you to notice something. That word Baptist is in the Bible. Amen? Amen. And the Bible says that in those days came John the Baptist. He came as a Baptist. You know, the people, these religious people, and oftentimes they're lost people, religiously lost people. You know, there's a lot of people, they don't like the name Baptist. And they like to say that John was a baptizer. And they'll change that in the new versions of the Bible. But John the Baptist, when John the Baptist came, he hadn't baptized anybody yet, brother. How can you be a baptizer if you haven't baptized anybody? Amen? He came as a Baptist. And he didn't come baptizing. The Bible says in those days came John the Baptist what? Preaching. The preaching has to come before the baptizing. Amen? You know why? People need to get saved. And they need to hear the gospel. When you look in the Old Testament, you look in the New Testament, you'll see that God's method, God's way of dispensing the truth and helping people to come to the knowledge of the truth and understanding the truth, he does it through preaching. The Bible says that for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. God said in Corinthians that by the foolishness of preaching, men are saved. The Bible says in Titus that God's word was being manifested, his wisdom was being manifested through preaching. You know what's happening in churches today? It's turning, you know, this is not a platform whereby the word is being preached. It's become a stage. And people come to, and they come and sit through a musical concert. And it's an opportunity that they take to show their voices and to try to promote their CDs, and they're bringing the musical instruments. And I don't have a problem with musical instruments, but it's how you play them. But you know, in churches now, they're bringing in the trap set and the guitars, and you, I don't have a problem with the guitar, but it's how you play it. It's not good. We need preaching. Amen. And I'm thankful that I can show a presentation. But we need preaching. Amen. We don't need concerts. We don't need movies. We don't need dramas. We need preaching. And when God looked at the problem of the world, the solution was He sent a man. He sent a man whom He called a Baptist, and he came preaching. Amen. Now, where did he go preaching? You know, when John the Baptist started preaching, it had been 400 years before Israel heard any prophet. It was as if heaven was silent, and they're called the 400 silent years. You can imagine when John the Baptist came with the spirit and power of Elias, and he's out preaching, how that must have stirred up the people, which is why all of Jerusalem and all of Judea and the region round about, they came to hear the Baptist preacher. But why did God send him in the wilderness? You'd think that God would have sent him to the synagogue. But he didn't do that. And God has a reason for everything he does. Amen?
Amen.
You know why I personally believe he sent him out in the wilderness? Because God wanted to send a message to the people that that's exactly how people were in those days, and that's exactly how people are today. Right. People are living in a wilderness. And when you look and study in the wilderness of what the Bible says about it, it's not a very good place. Remember when Jesus Christ was tempted of the devil? Where did the Spirit drive him into to be tempted of Satan? It was the wilderness.
Right.
And the Bible says in the Gospel of Mark that in the wilderness, not only was Satan there, the wild beasts were there. And when you think of living in a wilderness, the root word of wilderness is what? Wild. Isn't that how people are living today? You know, in a wilderness, you don't have to have rules. There's no regulations. There's no standards. You can live how you want. You can do whatever you want, when you want. I mean, out in the wilderness, if you want to marry, you know, if they want to have same-sex marriage, they'll do that. You say, well, Brother Kuzel, that's how it is here in our country. I know. Our country is a wilderness. Satan is alive at work.
Amen. Yes.
The wild beasts, people are living wild. They will not have this man, Jesus Christ, or his word to reign over us.
Amen.
It's sad, brother, amen, sister. In those days, it's the same thing that I see today. God sent John out into the wilderness. And what did he say? The Bible says in saying, repent. Amen. Do you know, for these people, for sinners in a wilderness where Satan is and the wild beasts, all of that, the solution to coming out of the wilderness was to repent.
Amen.
There's no other way to get out of the wilderness.
Right.
If you don't repent, my friend, if you're not here to, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, the only way to come out of the wilderness, the only way to come out of under the domain of Satan, the only way to come out from his power and being a member of his family, the only way for you to be saved from condemnation and judgment and the lake of fire is to repent.
Amen. Right.
There's no other way. What does repent mean? Boy, there's a lot of controversy about that. Let me just give you Paul's definition. Paul said unto the Thessalonians, he was praising them, how they turned to God from idols. And why did they do that? Why did they turn to God from idols? Why? To serve the living and true God. Amen. You know why people, we know why a sinner comes to Christ to get saved? Because God, through His mercy and His love, has shined the light into their darkened soul. that up to that point had been blinded by Satan. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The reason somebody comes to Christ to get saved is God has opened their blinded eyes. They understand and they see they're a sinner separated from God. They were born that way. They have the condemnation of God upon their soul. They are guilty before God, and they see that they have offended a holy God, and they see that they're under judgment and condemnation, and they don't want their sin anymore. They don't want to be the sinner that they were born to be anymore. And by faith, they turn to God from their sins, and they come to Christ, and they want to be saved, and they by faith call upon Him and receive Him and believe Him, trusting Him to be the only Savior, trusting Christ to do all of this saving all by Himself. And you know, if somebody's going to be born again, you've got to repent of false religion. False religion is idolatry. Did you know that? Did you know that religion was invented by the devil? Salvation is of the Lord. That goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden and even to Adam and Eve's two sons, Cain and Abel. We see Satan inventing religion. We see it manifested in Cain, who is trying to please God and offer a sacrifice to God of the work of his own hands, and God rejected it. But he accepted Abel's offering. It was of blood. It represented the Lamb, Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, he came as a Baptist. He came preaching. He went into the wilderness because that's where people were, how they were living. That was their spiritually lost condition. And he said, you need to repent. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Do you know what it means, girls, to have something at hand? It means you can reach out and touch it, grab it, hold it, handle it. It is at hand. Now that lady's purse, that man's Bible, it's close, but I can't reach out and take it at hand. It's close, but not close enough. And the wonderful thing about the salvation of God, it is so close. It is at hand. If you'll repent. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. You know, John the Baptist was an interesting man. Have you ever studied his life and how he is very much similar to Elijah? He came in the spirit and power of Elijah. You know, they both dressed the same way. They both wore the garb of a prophet, the clothing of a prophet. Do you know they were both fed in the wilderness? Do you know that Elijah preached unto King Ahab and John the Baptist preached unto King Herod? Do you know that they both had disciples? They're very much similar. But John the Baptist is the only prophet whose coming was prophesied by another prophet. Actually, two prophets. Do you know who they are? It was Malachi, and who's the other one? Isaiah. John was the fulfillment of that. And John said, this is important, John said that he was the fulfillment of those prophecies, but he said, I am the voice of one crying. Now he wasn't boo-hoo crying. He was crying. In other words, he was lifting up his voice because what John had to say was so important. It was so stirring upon his soul. It was so urgent. He was passionate about it. He couldn't be silent about it. He didn't go out into the wilderness, beloved, and say, repent. That's not how he said that. He was crying. He was lifting up his voice. He wanted people to hear the message. He wanted people and sinners to come out of the wilderness and be saved. It was urgent. And I want to say tonight, if you're not saved, if you've never truly been born again, young people, you may be born in a Christian home, but you're not going to get to heaven because mommy and daddy are saved. They did not pass to you in their blood. They did not pass to you salvation. What they passed to you, what your father passed to you, man, was a sin nature. You didn't get salvation from your parents. Ye must be born again. That's what Jesus said. And didn't Jesus say to those Pharisees who were priding themselves of being Jewish, he said, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Don't think you're going to have a free ticket to heaven just because you were born of the seed of Abraham. And it's the same thing today. Children must be born again. Young people, you must be born again. And the consequences of not being born again. You read what John the Baptist said. He said, the axe is laid under the root of the trees, and every tree that doesn't bring forth good fruit is going to be hewn down and cast into the fire. That's the lake of fire. You must be born again. And so John the Baptist was saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was saying it was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He was the voice. Now let me ask you something. If you had a child, and you were at some big amusement park, or maybe you went hiking in some big state park, and your child got lost, what would you be doing if your child was lost? Oh, where's Bethany? Well, I thought you had her. No, well, I thought you had her. Or in a big mall somewhere, what would you be doing? I'll tell you this. I know what I'd be doing. The world would stop. I would be looking for our daughter. My wife and I, we would be looking for our daughter, and we would not stop until we found her. And if we were in some public place, some park, some amusement place, wherever we are, we would be saying, Elena! Elena! Hi. What somebody needs more than anything else who's lost, doesn't a lost person need somebody to come looking for them?
Right.
And don't they need to hear a voice of a parent or somebody who's concerned, a family member, a friend, whoever, you know, the police, somebody, hey, are you there? Elena! That's what John the Baptist was doing. And actually, it was the Lord doing it through John. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he came to do it personally. And even before that, he was using his men of God. We need a voice. Not only do we need a voice, but Jesus Christ said of John the Baptist, he was a burning and a shining light. You know, if you're in the darkness, beloved, and you're lost, and you don't know the way, and it's dark, and you can't see, you know what you need? You need a light. Somebody shine a light so I can find my way. Somebody give me a voice. And when God looked down, and he saw in those days, the condition of the world in those days, the condition of people in those days, living in a wilderness, God wanted to save those people, and God said, I've got an answer. I'm going to send a man. He's going to be a Baptist. And he's going to come forth preaching. And I'm going to send him to the wilderness where the people are, right where they live. And he's going to be a voice, and he's going to be a light. And he's going to preach the word of God, and he's going to preach repent. And he's going to direct people to the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He must increase, and I must decrease. That was the solution. And he said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And the Bible says John came to prepare a people for the Lord. But you know, if you're going to prepare yourself for the Lord, do you know preparation takes time? You know, one thing about my wife is very organized. And you know, opposites attract. Even my wife's garbage is organized. My wife's Everything about my wife is organized. She organizes time. She organizes everything. Now, before I was saved, by the way, before I was married, I was married when I was 40. And before I was saved, you know, living single till you're 40, you kind of do things when you want, how you want, and so on. You're pretty much impromptu. And then I got married. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. I had to learn some things. I'm still learning. Listen, preparation takes time. It took me until I was 40 for God to prepare me for marriage. You know, it took some time to prepare me to go to the mission field. It took time for me to move my family there, and it did take some preparation, and God put me on the fast track. I got called in 2003 to go to Africa. I was content just to be at my home church. I loved it. I was content to be with my preacher who led me to the Lord. But he called me in 2002. In 2003, God brought me a wife. We got married. In 2004, we had our first child, Elena, our only child. 2005, we went on deputation. 2006, we moved to Africa. There was a lot that happened, but it took some preparation. And I'm telling you here tonight, if you're not saved, don't think that you're going to decide the time of your salvation. Don't think you can take God and put him into your day timer. Well, I'll get saved when? I'll get saved at this time. Don't think you can structure and organize God. Salvation belongs to the Lord. But it's going to take some time. You have got to prepare your heart to seek after God while you have the time. You know, I've heard preachers say this. I'm almost finished, but I've heard preachers say this at the end of an invitation, and I know what they mean when they say this. But they'll say, well, you know, if anybody doesn't come forward, well, the invitation is always open. Now, I know what they mean by that. They're saying, you know, if you couldn't come forward now, I'll be at the back. You know, you can meet with me then or call me tomorrow and we can make an appointment. I know what they're saying by that. But actually, the invitation from God is not always open. The time's going to come when it's too late.
Amen.
God's Spirit will not always strive with man. And you can read the first chapter of Proverbs when God personified wisdom and was calling to the simple and to the foolish and to the scorners and inviting them to come to wisdom and partake of wisdom. And he said, I'll pour out my Spirit unto you. But they said, the Bible says they would none of my reproof. They hated my instruction. They didn't take my correction. And then God says, when your calamity cometh, when it cometh as destruction as a whirlwind, I'm going to laugh at your calamity. And you're going to call upon me early and you won't find me. Do you know in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus spoke about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And when somebody blasphemes the Holy Spirit, they have just sealed their damnation. It's too late to get saved. You say, well, what is that, Brother Kuzel? Well, when you look at to whom Jesus said that, he said that to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees who were always following him for the wrong reason, trying to take him in his words. But because they were following Christ so closely, listen, they were hearing the preaching, they were seeing the miracles, they were seeing changed lives and sinners being converted. And Jesus says the harlots and the publicans are going into the kingdom of God before you. And when you saw it, you didn't repent. And they had seen time and time again the opportunities that God had given them. And then Jesus finally cast out a devil out of somebody. And those Pharisees says, you're doing that by the power of Beelzebub. You're doing that of the devil. And Jesus said, enough is enough. I have stretched out my hand to you. I have tried to woo you. I have tried to call you. I've tried to bring you to salvation. You've seen the miracles. You've seen heard the preaching. You've seen it all. You've heard it all. And you still refuse. And now you're saying that I'm of the devil? You have just sinned against the Holy Spirit. And it'll not be forgiven in this life, in this world, or in the next. And when God's Spirit, my friend, comes and knocks on the door of your heart, You've seen lives changed here. You've seen the miracles of God done here in converting people and transforming people. And you yourself have been under conviction and God is dealing with you. But you can say no one too many times. And God will never speak to you again. John the Baptist was crying in the wilderness, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." What is the solution for your city, your neighborhood? What is the solution for our country? In those days, it's the same. It's even worse. God sent a man. The voice of one. That's all people need to hear is one. And he was crying in the wilderness. He was preaching, repent. He was sent from God. And there were people who got saved. And they got baptized with the baptism of John. And they became disciples of John the Baptist. And that's a whole other message, but he taught them a lot of things. And when Jesus Christ came, and Jesus Christ came and presented himself to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist baptized the very Son of God, then John turned him over to the Messiah. They followed Christ, and shortly thereafter, you know what Jesus did with those Baptist disciples? He started a church. Amen. Isn't that the solution to our ills in this world? It's salvation and seeing churches started. Amen. And he did it with the Baptist. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to be a voice? Are you willing to be a light? God will use you if you are. Amen. Well, I've said what God told me to say. Let's pray.